there, and welcome to episode 62 of the Knitting Pretty Podcast. It is Monday, April 25th, 2016. Hi, how are you? I'm good. I'm here. That's what counts. Speaking of me, I'm Em. You can find me on the internet as KnitFast, Die Cozy, particularly Ravelry, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter. Then there are show notes for the podcast, which you can find at emmaknits.net, and there's a Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/emmaknits. There's also a Ravelry group, which you can find on Ravelry by searching Knitting Pretty Podcast in the Groups tab. Sorry about the background crunching noise. The cat has decided now is eating time. It's funny, actually, my cat. She was a feral kitten that she was found with her brothers and sisters, but no parents, under some stairs. They were still fairly little, but they had, you know, they were functioning kittens. When I got her, she'd only been at the shelter for a week, and she was about 6 weeks old. And so she was a little bit socially awkward and a little bit messed up, not so good with humans. And then when I got her, she had a really, really bad upper respiratory infection that that the Humane Society didn't know about. And she came home with me and was terribly sick and had to be syringe-fed for a couple of weeks. And, you know, nearly died and all that. But it meant that she and I, because I wasn't working at the time, spent a lot of time together, and particularly at eating times, because I had to hand-feed her. And so this cat is 12 years old now and still doesn't really like to eat unless I'm in the room. It was super awesome when we used to keep her food in the bathroom, and the only time she would eat is if you were, you know, in there for a long time, like pooping, basically. That was her favorite time to eat, was when you were doing your business. Super awkward. Anyway, so my cat likes to eat while I'm here, and I've moved her food in here. More about my poor cat later. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. That is totally an unnecessary tangent. Hi, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. It's a knitting and sewing and other things podcast, not a cat podcast. Are there cat podcasts? There should be. So I've got a bit of a cold. Hopefully my voice will hold up, because we've probably got a long episode today. But if I sound weird or kind of cut in and out or just sound sick, that's because I am. Or if I sound like I'm yelling. I don't know about you guys, but when I get a cold, my ears go and I can't hear very well. I've been half deaf for a week. Not actually, all the way. I mean, not actually half deaf, but like really poor hearing. And so if I'm yelling because I can't hear myself, I'm sorry. Oh, one other piece of news. Likely, as you may have noticed, I mean, I'm terrible at recording on the day I say I'll record, but I was fairly consistently recording on Sundays. It's going to be either Sundays or Mondays, just kind of playing it by ear. My hubby is out playing board games / Dungeons and Dragons both Sundays and Mondays, which means they're perfect nights for me to record because he's not here to bug me, or whatever it is that husbands do. And, so I'll just be using whatever night I get more time, you know, whatever night the kid is in bed better. But, you know, still beginning of the week. That'll be when the podcast comes out. That is that for administrivia. On to the crafting. In my past, I have nothing because I have nothing. So let's move on to the present. I am still working on my Vianne cardigan, which is by Andy Satterlund. I waxed poetic for some time about this cardigan last week. It's a cropped cardigan with lace panels down the front and then a big mesh panel down the center of the back with the same mirrored lace panels on either side of it. It's very cute. It's knit in a DK weight yarn and I'm using Barocco Vintage DK in the light gray heather colorway. My progress on this so far has been good. I haven't been knitting on it all that much. If I had, I'm sure it would be done because at the rate this thing knits up, it's amazing. It's so fast. Cropped cardigans go really quickly, just because they're little. And then the DK weight yarn knits up super fast. I'm more of a fan of, like, well, I like DK weight and smaller for sweaters, generally, with a couple of exceptions. And so this feels like it's going like crazy. And then combine that with the fact that it's lace and this mesh panel at the back, you know, it's only 14, 28, 29 stitches across this mesh panel, but it's the majority of the back of the sweater. It's just, it stretches out when you wear it. And, yeah, anyway, so the whole thing's going really quickly. I knit the first part of the back and the first part of the two fronts and joined it, obviously not in the round because it's a cardigan, but joined it flat. You basically knit down the back and then you knit down the two front pieces on either side of the armholes from there, and then you join them all. So rather than being a raglan, it's going to have set-in sleeves. Well, not set-in sleeves, but like top-down set-in sleeves. Picked up and knit set-in sleeves. And so, yeah, it has a normal-shaped armhole, which I'm excited about because I love knitting raglan sleeves, but they don't actually fit me super well. I have kind of a shallow upper chest, I think is what the problem is, like, which is, on my body type at least, just a really nice way of saying I have kind of saggy boobs. TMI? Sorry. Anyway, basically I end up with a lot of extra fabric in the chest on a raglan, even if I follow instructions for, like, increasing less on the front, but, you know, like on the insides than the outsides, or what do I even mean? Like across the chest rather than on the sleeves. Even when I do that, it still just is not a great fitting construction for me. I much prefer a set-in sleeve, but knitting a raglan is so nice. Oh well. Anyway, so I got that, I got it joined, and I have been knitting the waist decreases, and I've got a bunch of those done. I'm probably about 4 inches into the body from the armpit, down from the armpits now, and it's going swimmingly. I like it a lot. I'm looking forward to trying it on. I've just been lazy. One thing I really like about the Xiaogu needles is they're easy to change out, or just to make it easy to try on. I just put on the connector and then add another cable, and that makes it long enough that I'm not going to lose any stitches. Anyway, I just throw it on and then see how it looks, and if it's good, it's good, and if it's not, then I deal with it. But yeah, anyway, that's probably so far my favorite thing about the Xiaogu needles, and it's such a little thing, but the connector is just great. That's the interchangeables, not fixed. The fixed ones are great just because they're great needles. Anyway, that is all I have to say about that. Great pattern so far. I'm liking it very much. I have made one small modification just because I felt that the, the bust measurement was what I wanted. The waist measurement was a little bit too tiny. I'm not quite as hourglassy as the sweater is. And so instead of starting the waist decreases, as rapidly as are in the pattern, I did two rows where they're, or two, not rows, two repeats of the set of rows where there's a little bit more space between the decreases, and then I'm going to just leave out the last decrease. Basically, I'm trying to use up the same amount of rows to knit it down the same vertical length, but not decrease as many stitches. And I wanted it to start slowly because, that's the way my body's shaped, I guess. You know, whatever. Anyway, so that's my progress on that one. I am very much enjoying it, and I look forward to having the sweater because, yeah, it's cropped cardi time. I really would like to have it to wear it. It's April, and the weather is perfect. Perfect for little cardigans. My only other project that I've put time in on is a sewing project. I've been working on the Bombshell Swimsuit by Closet Case Patterns. This is a very, very cute pattern. It's a fully ruched swimsuit. It's got a very, very 50s look to it. Ruching, if you are not familiar with the terms, is like gathering. It's when the fabric is all wrinkled up and pulled together in a seam, basically. And ruching on a bathing suit can be quite flattering because it creates some texture in the fabric that might hide any texture that your body has that could peek through the fabric, let's say. And so I chose this bathing suit not specifically for the ruching, but more because I liked that it has a straight across the front cut. It almost looks like, not a swim dress, it's not that long. It only really covers your crotch, like that's how low it comes in the front. But it does come down past where, like, words fail me today, which is, it is frustrating because this is a podcast and words are necessary. The front is two layers. The inside layer looks like a normal bathing suit with, you know, like leg holes and stuff. The outside goes straight across and it's about crotch height, like bottom of crotch height, and it goes straight from the side seam where the normal back of the bathing suit is, straight across to the other side seam. So it doesn't lift, like raise up. It doesn't show the very tops of your legs. Which, I don't know, seemed cute. It seemed like a little bit more coverage. Feels a little bit more, I just don't really hang out in a bathing suit that often. I don't really like being that naked in public. I have no moral opposition to being naked in public. I think that's great. I'm just not used to it. And so I felt like a bathing suit that has lots of coverage would make me feel more comfortable in said bathing suit. I mean, I still made it like neon marine blue. So it's not that I don't want to be seen. I just, you know that I'll be a little uncomfortable. And so something with good coverage I thought would help. So yeah, it's got a very demure bottom line. And then the top is a sweetheart kind of neckline. Again, with pretty good coverage. It's got a halter neck, so you know you're not going to lose your top because it's tied behind your neck. And the whole front is ruched. And it's pulled down by a little tab at the center of the bust to create that sweetheart line. So there's lots of ruching on the bust, which creates a little bit of an illusion of fullness where I don't have much in the way of fullness, so I'm excited about that. And then the whole back is ruched, which ostensibly gives you a really cute round backside. I did try it on and I'm not so sure about the cute backside, but jury's still out. We'll see when it's fully finished. It's hard to tell when the I hadn't yet put the elastic around the leg holes, and so, you know, they don't cup quite the way they should on the backside. We'll see how it goes. So I did try it on and I wasn't like intensely happy with it so far, but I think it looks about as good as any bathing suit would. I have decided I really hate fiddly knits. I really like fiddly knitting knits. I really hate sewing fiddly knit patterns. That stretchy and like stretching and easing in elastic, and I just hate it. The slippery fabric, dealing with all that ruching, you know, you have to gather everything and then serge it to the lining to keep the gathers in the right spot. I don't like it. I didn't like sewing underwear. I don't really love sewing this bathing suit. Which, by the way, is not actually that difficult of a pattern. I read the instructions and was sort of thinking, oh god, what have I gotten myself into? But once I got sewing it and actually looked at the pattern pieces, there's not that many of them, and they're all reasonably, you know, good-sized and not too many tiny corners to sew into or anything. So it's not hard, it's just finicky, and yeah, involves easing in elastic. And I think part of the problem there is that my machine doesn't have very modifiable or very good pressure between the feed dogs, which are the awesomely named little sort of teethy parts that pull the fabric through a sewing machine underneath the fabric, and the presser foot, which pushes down on top. And my machine doesn't really do a great job with that. I really like my sewing machine. I have the Brother CE 5000, I think. It's an entry-level computerized sewing machine. But yeah, that's one thing about it that I've just not had great success with. And so when I'm sewing in knits, or sewing in elastic, when you have to stretch the elastic and then you have the machine kind of pull it through, I have to pull it through at the back with my hand, which leaves no hands for fixing things, because you've got the front hand holding the stretch out and the back hand keeping everything going through the machine, and then everything kind of slides around in the middle. And I have tried to increase the pressure of my presser foot, but it's just not I don't know. I just don't like sewing finicky knits, is the thing. And that's just fine. I don't mind finicky woven things. I don't mind hand sewing if I need to, but yeah, just not loving the knits. But it will end me with a bathing suit which will look as good as any other bathing suit, and that's not a bad thing. So I'm excited about it. I need to put in the other leg elastic and do a little bit more elasticy finishing around the top. Put on straps, then it's done. So exciting. I'm looking forward to using it. I did think of something the other day when my kid was like, you have to finish your bathing suit. You have to stay up in the night when I'm asleep and finish your bathing suit so we can go to the pool in the morning. And at first I thought of doing that. And then I thought, you know, I should probably test this fabric in water to see if it bleeds bright blue dye or anything before I go to the pool. So I'm going to do that because sometimes fabric does bleed, and even weird synthetics like this nylon lycra could bleed. So I'm going to test that before I go to the pool and accidentally bleed blue everywhere. That was a long segment. That is pretty much all I have for current projects. In my future, I'm not going to talk about patterns because today is part two of the pattern or the fashion report. And so pretty much what's in my future is like a third of last episode's patterns. I really fell in love with some of them not so much, but some of the patterns I just adore, and some of the ones from today too. So I'm going to go through and look at them and cue them up. And yeah, definitely. Some of those patterns will be in my future, probably my distant future, because I'm not crafting at an exorbitant rate these days. Okay, so show and tell, my favorite segment when it works. So we're going to do part two of the spring-summer 2016 fashion report. If you missed last episode, and like every other episode I've done, the fashion report is when I take the trends from the runways for this season and I compare them with what's available in new particularly knitting patterns. The whole point of fashion trends is that they're new, so I do try and stick with new ones as much as possible. Also, it's easier because magazines and stuff do try to stay on trend. But also I try and grab a couple of patterns that maybe haven't been seen as much or didn't get as much attention as they should have while they were fresh. And anyway, so I find trend topics and find knitting patterns to work with them. And last week we talked mostly about fabrics, stripes, and things like that. This week we are going to talk about design elements, themes, and some specific items that I think are good. And so we'll start with design elements. The first is embellishment and appliqué. And by embellishment, pretty much anything goes. Really, anything goes. If it's embellished, it's good. This season, it's like anything can go on anything and people are okay with it. Sequins, you name it. Whatever. So I thought fringe deserved a special mention because fringe is very much the thing it has been for like 2 years now, actually. It's been surprisingly enduring. Something as heavy of a statement as fringe isn't, well, it just doesn't normally have such longevity. And I'm not a huge fan of fringe, but one pattern I really like that does have a healthy amount thereof is the Erica Cowl by Jane Richmond. I am very fond of Jane Richmond. She's a lovely person. She is from where I am from, and I am very, like, I bask in her knitting glory. And the Erica, for whom this pattern is named, is also a super awesome person. The Erica Cowl is knit. It's got a clever construction, as it says in the pattern description. It kind of starts at one point and goes around the back of your neck and then fans out and is joined together, and then fringing is put on the edge. So it's a cowl that looks like a triangular shawl worn bandana style. But the whole front of it has fringe all down both sides and to the triangle point. Big, long fringe. It's a huge statement. It's lots of fun. And, it's a great pattern for having a little bit of fringe, but not, Even though it's a really big statement piece, it just doesn't seem overdone. I think it particularly helps that the sample is knit in a neutral, and so it just seems very, very calm. It's calm fringe, and I like it a lot, and I think it is very on trend, and you should knit it. Okay? All right. The next pattern that I wanted to talk about in regards to embellishment is called Wonderlanding. That's W-O-N-D-R landing, all one words. And it is by, it's called Lamella, and it's by Wonderlanding. I'm assuming Wonderlanding has a different name in real life, but maybe not. Maybe they are the Madonna of knitting. I don't know. Lamella is the sweater's name. Lamella is a really nice boat neck pullover. It's kind of got an A-line with some gathers at the back. It's loose and comfy, and it's tunic length. Very, very comfortable looking. It has bracelet length sleeves that are quite fitted, even though the body's quite loose, which I think having a fitted sleeve with the loose body is really good for pullovers that you want that relaxed, flowy look, but you don't want to look like you fill up the whole sweater. A fitted sleeve can really help with that. But down the center back of this very, very pretty tunic is an appliqué lace. And the pattern sample is done with the body of the sweater in a dark fuchsia purple, and then the lace that's appliqué down the center back is in like a brilliant acid yellow green. It's really stands out, and it's just a simple knit lace that you then sew on, as far as I can tell. Let's see. Doesn't really say. I'm gonna guess you sew it on. It's not worked in. The sweater seems to be worked as a normal style sweater, and it can also be knit to dress length, which is it's cool, and there's two different variants of the way you can gather the back. It is a paid-for pattern on Ravelry for 5 euros, and goes from a 30-inch bust to a 48-inch bust with zero ease. So, it's fairly versatile, it's very, very cute, and it's neat and different, and it's a cool way of using embellishment and applique in a knitted pattern. You just don't see this scale of applique on most knitted sweaters. You know, people put on a little knitted brooch or whatever, but this huge lace panel down the back, I mean, it's not huge, it's narrow, but it goes the whole length of the thing, and if you're making a dress, it would go the whole length of the dress. It's very different, and I like it. It's neat. I don't know if I would wear it with my personal style, but it is neat. The next one to mention is something that you could make a little knitted brooch out of. It's called A Rose by Any Other Name. It's by Lauren Cara Knits. It's a free pattern on Ravelry. And it is a little knitted flower that has beads in the center, which is a very effective way of making a knitted flower look both pretty and flower-like. It's not super naturalistic. It's made out of mohair, so it's fluffy. If you like, it calls for Rowan Kid Silk Haze. You could use Knit Picks Aloft. Any of those brushed, fluffy mohair lace yarns would work for it. Or any other yarn. I mean, it's a knitted flower. Do what you want. But yeah, it's the fluffiness just adds this like whimsy and romance. And I'm not usually a big fan of whimsy or romance in knitting or real life. Or movies, or anything, really. I'm not super whimsical. But, it's just super cute, and I love it. So if you're looking for a knitted flower pattern, and you want something that looks either like a rose, it looks kind of like a rose, or a peony, or an anemone, maybe. Any of those big, full, floofy flowers. It's not quite a ranunculus, it's too open for that, but anyway. And if you happen to like things in mohair, it looks really freaking cute, all fluffy with the beads in the center. If I ever make a rose or a knitted flower applique thing, it will be this one, because it's adorable. And it bears mentioning that with the trends this time around, you could, like, go completely nuts with the knitted flowers and, like, just, like, load up on the things. There were some seriously big appliques and embellishments on the runways, like, huge flowers, huge, huge. Ruffly flowers, like flowers and ruffles that stuck a foot off of the models' bodies. And, you know, those models aren't very big, so proportionally that's like a long way. And yeah, if you're into embellishments, like, embellish the heck out of your stuff. And even if it's not on trend at the time and you're into embellishments, just go for it. If they make you happy, then do what you like. One more is a pattern called Bo Peep Decorative Bows. It's by Eleanor King. That's Eleanor with an A, E-L-A-N-O-R. Also a free pattern. It is a pattern for four different varieties of bows, I think it looks like. One is a kind of a skinny bow, I guess, and one's a little flat, fluffy bow. She has them in the sample, one done in stripes, which is really cute. They're knit in garter stitch, as far as I can tell, which allows for a very plush little bow and lets the edges curve nicely, which is cute. They're very, very simple, and she's done them in cute colors, which I think is half the draw for me, because otherwise it's an extremely simple pattern. It calls for 10 yards of yarn. I'm pretty sure you have some of that lying around. There were a lot of bows on the runways, like a particularly a black bow around the neck, or like on the collar of something. I have done in the past fashion reports about bows. Bows do come back, and particularly big collar bows. I think it was last season, fall-winter 2015, that had big pussy bow collars, and so I mentioned patterns with that. If you want to go look through the show notes of the past probably two fashion reports, so that would be sometime around September last year and March of last year, you will find more patterns with bows if you dig bows. So that's enough of embellishment. Let's move on to another design element. This one is spaghetti straps. The 90s and spaghetti straps were all the rage on the runways in many different ways, and so I found a couple patterns. They all kind of cross over. Some of them could fit in other categories, and so I've just kind of spread out these patterns that work well with these kind of categories. If you look them up, you'll see why. I think they're all similar. Anyway, spaghetti straps. Stay on topic. God. The Butterfly Dress or Vest by Jenny Atkinson, which is in romantic style. Looks like an ebook, but you can also download it on Ravelry for £5, which is $9.37 Canadian right now. It's not a super cheap pattern, but if you're knitting it as a dress, which you will want to wear something underneath, definitely. It's a lace dress with spaghetti straps, and it's got a picot edging, and then the whole thing is done in an all-over. It's a mesh lace, but it's not just a yarn over, knit two together kind of mesh. It's got a more detailed kind of, like diagonal lines that cross each other. Whatever. Anyway, it's mesh-like, all right? Picot top edge, mesh. The bottom has an applied lace edging, which it looks like in the pattern. It's quite hard to tell from the pictures, but it looks like maybe is two layers. Or if it's not two layers, you could certainly make it two layers with multiple colors. The recommended yarn is Rowan Kid Silk Haze, which is a silk mohair lace weight that I mentioned with the lace, or the fluffy flower from two patterns ago. So it's very lightweight, but it would probably also be strangely warm. It's very, very pretty. Anyway, Have a look. If you've ever considered knitting a spaghetti strap tank dress, but you've always thought maybe they'd be too heavy and stretch out and, you know, get all messed up, have a look at this one because it's so lightweight. You would have to wear a slip underneath it, but it's so lightweight that it's not going to stretch or droop or pull itself downwards because it can't weigh very much. I mean, it uses... It's an extra small to an extra large. I'm going to guess it's not very big of an extra large either. 40 inches around the bust. The lace will stretch to fit larger than that. But anyway, so it's not a very generously sized pattern, unfortunately. But it only calls for up to 4 balls of kid silk haze. And that's like 100 grams, I think. I think they come in 25 gram balls. So tiny little slip of a slip, and very pretty, very, very pretty, and very romantic, and I think fits really well with a lot of the different trends for this spring and summer, the sort of romantic lacy-ness of things, the lingerie, the spaghetti straps 90s look, the ruffles, there's so many things, and it's pretty. Another pattern I wanted to mention in the context of spaghetti straps isn't technically a spaghetti strap. I think the strap is actually too wide to rightly call it that. But whatever, this is my podcast. I can say what I want. It's called 003 and it's by Veronica, like that's just the numbers, 003, by Veronica Job or Joby or something like that. All of these patterns are knitted. I'm not knitting them all. That would be crazy pants. They're linked in the show notes. So if I say the name wrong or too quickly or whatever, or you just want to be able to click the links, they're in the show notes at emmaknits.net. Anyway, this is a tank. It is a very cute A-line shaped camisole. It's loose and it fits at the bust and then it's just loose from there. And which is nice, it's comfy. It's got a lacy hemline, and then the straps are braided, so it looks like you have to knit 3 different narrow strips, and then you braid them, and then reattach them to the sweater, or tank. So it would be finicky, probably kind of a pain, but it has these lovely narrow braided straps that are just really cool. It's a really, really cool pattern. I like it a lot. It's knit in fingering weight, so it wouldn't be too heavy. I think you could make it out of a lot of different yarns would work for it. The one that's recommended is a merino nylon cashmere blend, but I think you could do it in pretty much whatever you wanted. Obviously the drape would be different if you did it in a synthetic or a plant fiber. But like, I think you could do it in a hemp yarn or a linen yarn and you could have this like really neat summer tank. I don't know, I just think it's a really pretty pattern, and I wanted to throw it under spaghetti straps, because the straps are very narrow, and like a spaghetti strap, but they're obviously a knitted braid, so they've got a little bit more oomph to them. Which might be good, actually, because you could probably hide a bra under there. You might have to pin them to your bra to keep everything covered, but if you don't like the bra straps hanging out look, I personally can't be bothered to deal with it. I just don't care that much, but if you don't like it, this might be big enough to hide bra straps. Okay, where are we at? Next design element is exposed shoulders. Now, on the runways, this came in a lot of different forms, particularly necklines that were straight all the way across, like from arm to arm, straight, separate, like completely bare shoulders with sleeves that then began at the armpit and went straight down the arm. Those are impractical for knits in almost every way. And for anything else. I mean, have you ever tried to lift your arms while you're wearing something like that? Because nothing stays in place. It's just a disaster. Not good at all. Anyway, but lots of other ways of exposing shoulders. But the shoulders are apparently the new cleavage. I don't know about that. But they certainly did make a hearty appearance, and yeah, so I found a couple of patterns that work that way. The first is the Cordia tank. It's by Carrie Bloomer, and it's in Knit Scene Summer 2016. it has this line that works really well and is really similar to a lot of the things that were on the runway, where the neckline is high on the top, and the straps, it's a tank, basically. It's got no arms on it. So the straps are wide, but it actually goes inwards towards... excuse me. Sorry, I said I was sick. Now I just really sound like it. Oh my goodness, come back. Anyway, so the neckline actually goes in towards the center of the chest a little bit, and then outwards again to go under the armpit. So very significant shoulder exposure. This tank in that area, that line that goes inward at first, is continued with a row of eyelets that come to a point in the center. So it's got that V-neck shaping to it, which is very flattering, but it's actually high-necked. And so, because high-necked things can actually be quite a lot less flattering because of the way they cut you off right at the neck. If you like wearing a V-neck because it makes your neck look longer and narrower, high necks generally won't do that for you. But this one, I think, will continue that line in a flattering way. And then the yoke area of the top, between those lines of eyelets and up to the neck, has cabling in it. It's very, very simple cabling. Again, just detail there. And then it's got some ribbing down the side seams, which would add a little bit of stretch and give and comfort, but also creates a nice look. It's a long tank. It's lower at the back than the front, it looks like, or at least it is on the model. So I'm hoping that that's intentional. And it's knit in a 80 wool 20 silk sport weight, which would give it a nice drape. Be very pretty. But also, because it's a drapey yarn, you could probably swap out some plant fibers if you were interested in working with something that would be a little bit cooler for the summer. I did try and find patterns that would be cooler for the summer, because as much as I love big bulky cardigans with cables and cozy and warm, they're not great for the summer, are they? No. So I think you could knit this one in a linen blend or something like that. I don't advocate knitting garments with cotton unless you absolutely have to, because I hate knitting with cotton, but that's more of a personal preference than anything. But I do think that, it could lend itself to working with a plant fiber yarn. It goes from a 27 and 3/4 to 50 inch bust with 5 1/4 inches of negative ease. So it's got quite a lot of negative ease, which honestly doesn't look like it has that much on the model. I guess it's just really through the bust. It looks like the model's actually quite tiny through the waist, and so it doesn't actually have negative or positive ease at the waist, but then it's snug across the bust, which looks nice. Looks nice on her. The next pattern is called La Petite Grue, and it's by Robin Dodge. It's available for free. There's a link from the Ravelry page, and it is a simple tee with a deep, deep V-neck. And the neckline, where the neckband would be on a V-neck, is normal. And then the cap sleeves are detached from the neckline and expose the shoulders, rather like all the tops that are available in stores right now and on the runways and all of that. It's otherwise very simple. It's just stockinette. It's got some ribbing at the bottom. It's very cute. Like, really surprisingly cute. I actually really like it. I don't normally go for the kind of cold shoulder tops. I just don't like them that much. I think it's because I've worn plus size clothing most of my life, and it's one of the areas that in plus size clothing you get that cold shoulder look with the cutout shoulders a lot, because it's an area on a large woman that people apparently deem acceptable to show to the world. I think that it's kind of bullshit and that large women can wear whatever they want, but the trouble is they are certainly limited by what's available in stores. And so that's why some of these trends that have shown up in plus size clothing for a long time, I just find them irritating because I've seen them so much. Cold shoulders, bedazzling and like cute little prints on the front of sweatshirts with kittens on them. That might be ironic to some people, but to other people, it's what they've been stuck with for their whole life, you know? Anyway, sorry, fashion rant. Not necessary. This top is cute. Okay? La Petite Crew by Robin Dodge. And free. And it's an extra small through 1X, so that's pretty good range for a free pattern. I don't expect much in the way of a size range from a free pattern. It's also knit in a cotton viscose blend, which gives it a good drape and means it's not quite as warm, which is good because it's a little tank tee thing. One more cold shoulder style pattern I wanted to mention. It's called I don't really know what it's called. It's either the split top or the split tee top, or I don't know. Really, I can't figure out what exactly is meant by this pattern name. It's capital S, PLI, capital T, lowercase OP. So like split top, split tee top. I don't know. I can't figure it out. It's by La Maison Rilili, who makes amazing patterns, the Blue Sand cardigan and the Bow Bee cardigan I've both talked about on this podcast, I think. Very, very nice sweater and top designs that I like quite a lot. And this one is no exception. It's a tee with a fairly easy body. It's not super snug fitting. It's got a boat neck it has a crew neck, but then it has stripes on it in a contrasting color that give the shape of a boat neck on it, which is quite flattering, but means that you don't lose your sweater off your shoulders, which you often do with a boat neck. And then at the shoulder, it's got some sort of cables to gather it in, and then it opens up just for a little peek of shoulder skin, and then crosses over with another cable and closes for a little ribbed cuff. It's got a line of this contrast color on the sleeve cuffs and at the neck and around the bottom. It's very cute. I like it. It's pretty and feminine and has the shoulder thing, but not like to an excess. The next theme. We're moving on to themes now. This is not a design element. This is a theme. The theme is lingerie. Lingerie, everything on the runways. Particularly like lingerie as outside wear. Slips as gowns and pajamas, like pants and shirt pajamas kind of things as like real clothes that you wear outside. I'm not so sure about that. I don't think pajama tops with collar and cuffs and buttons and the whole thing look like anything other than pajama tops, but that's just me. So I stuck more with the slips and the more glamorous lingerie, and found a pattern called Lucy's Chemise Nighty. It's by Joan McGowan Mitchell, and it's available on Ravelry for $8.50. It is a very snug fitting slip that is lacy and pretty. It's got triangular shaped cups with a lace detail on them, and then lace down the center and on where the princess seams would be, and then an applied lace edging all around the bottom. It's not something that you could wear without something underneath it if you were going to wear it out in the world, but it's sort of sexy and you could wear it at home, I guess, if you wear sexy knitted chemises. But it would be pretty layered over a flowy skirt, perhaps, or over skinny pants. I think there's many options. And there's 28 projects, so you can see how other people are doing it. It's done in Cascade Yarns Pima Tencel, which is a cotton tencel blend, so it's shiny, which adds to the lingerie-esque look of it. The other pattern I pulled out for lingerie is called number 8, 50 Shades Pearl. Not super into the 50 Shades of Grey concept, but again, that's a rant for another time. This is a negligee you could use it as a spaghetti strapped dress. It's quite similar in shape to the chemise nighty thing. It has triangular cups and spaghetti straps, and it's short. It's got a ruffle around the bottom, and is otherwise just in stockinette stitch, but it's very clingy and fits close to the body. The pattern is for 24 inches to 37 inches around the upper rib cage, so it's based on a bra band measurement style. It's not how I really think is the best way to measure a bra band, but that's an argument also for another day. So
it doesn't have a particularly large size range, but it is cute.
If you want to knit a negligee, this is a nice one. And doesn't have quite so much lace in it, so if it was something you wanted to wear out into the world, you wouldn't have to worry so much about various things peeking through the fabric. The next theme I wanted to mention was 90s simplicity. If you remember the Tom Ford era of the 90s, the slim cigarette pants and the minimalist tops, it was sexy, but it was minimalist. If you combined that with grunge, also my favorite thing of the 90s, you would get this kind of look. It's simple, it's structured, kind of architectural, but not a whole lot going on beyond just good construction and interesting shapes in the clothing. And so I pulled a couple patterns for that. One is the Still Light Tunic by Vera Velimaki. It's a €4.90 Ravelry download. It is a tunic, as you can imagine. It's sport weight in drops alpaca, so it'll be actually very warm. You could probably sub yarns, but remember that alpaca is drapey, much more drapey than wool. So if you're subbing yarns, keep that in mind, that a wool won't drape quite the way that this alpaca does. It's got a wide neck with a little keyhole in the back, which is cute. And it's beyond tunic length. I would say it's short dress length. But then it's got big pockets. Huge pockets. It's like a kangaroo pocket, I think. It's hard to figure out. I think it's a kangaroo pocket, though. But it's all seamlessly worked into the pattern, which is very clever looking. And works with this kind of minimalist design where there are design features, but they're just worked in. They're very sculptural. And yeah, I don't know. I like it, and I think it works well with what I was looking at on the runways, and so I thought it bore mentioning. The other pattern I thought was good for this was the Claire Tank. It's by Joan Forgione. It's in knit.wear. Spring Summer 2016, which I believe is an Interweave magazine publication, so you can also buy it online for $5.50. It's a tank. It's got a high neck, and the shoulders are slightly cut in, again with that kind of shoulder bearing style, but not as much as the Cordia tank that I talked about earlier. It's like the front of your sweater or front of your tank top equivalent of a racer back. That slightly cut in edge. Anyway, this one's done in two colors. Use the main color for the top and the bottom, but a wide, wide center waistband, right from the underbust to below the natural waist, is in a contrast color, and this one's knit in a black. And then, so the main color is a gray, and then the contrast color is a black, and this black waistband area is then crisscrossed over with a band that is knit in the gray. It's a long, long, long belt. It goes three times around, it looks like it. So it looks kind of like an obi on a kimono, but not in like a super cultural appropriation way, just in a kind of nod to good design way. And yeah, it again, with the sort of minimalist approach to fashion where you've got these details, but they're just worked in really subtly, and doing it in the neutral colors really helps with that subtlety.
So the final thing I wanted to talk about was actual knitted items. There's not a whole lot of knitwear on any runway in spring and summer. And sometimes it shows up, but not that much because it's too warm. I'm sorry to our Southern Hemisphere friends who never get the things at the time. I don't know. How does the fashion cycle that's so based in the Northern Hemisphere work when you're in the Southern Hemisphere? If you happen to live south of the equator and you want to weigh in on that, I'd love to hear about it. I always sort of wonder, how does the fashion cycle work? Are you ahead or behind? Does it matter? No, it doesn't. Anyway, so there were some knits on the runways, and particularly oversized grunge sort of inspired knits, again with the everything hearkening to the 90s. And so I wanted to find a couple of oversized comfy sweaters that would work with that grunge theme, but also weren't super warm, because it's easy to find a bulky weight oversized sweater pattern, but it is not easy to wear it in July. So the first one I picked is called Gale. It's by Alicia Plummer. It's got a big cowl neck and then is just, I guess it's more of a tabard. It's not a normal piece of clothing. It's two big rectangles with a big cowl neck in the center and then buttons on the side, as far as I can tell, which create a kind of sleeve experience without actually being a sleeve. So it's a poncho. It suggests that it's a perfect winter poncho for sub-zero temperatures. I don't think I could wear something that my whole arms were hanging out in sub-zero temperatures, but maybe I'm confused. Anyway, it is done in a bulky weight. I think there are ways to make something like this more lightweight, or you could use some math and make it out of a finer gauge and knit it out of a thinner yarn. I don't know. Anyway, it fits that kind of laissez-faire grunge look that people are kind of rocking right now, where it's not actually super flattering, but people just carry it off with 100% attitude, and it looks super cool. This is that. And you should try it. If you have the attitude, you should totally try it. And even if you can't wear it in the summer, you could work on it now. And then, you know, wear it in the fall. The next pattern is called Bridie, and it's by Bristol Ivy. It's from the Quince & Company Kestrel 2016 collection. Kestrel is an Aran weight linen yarn, which I'm very curious about, because what even would that be like? I don't know. It's a cocoon-style sweater. It's, as far as I can tell, the same, you could flip it over top and bottom and it would be the same thing. Basically, it's just an oval with arms. You have to see it. It'll make sense. So it's open-fronted. It doesn't button or anything. And it's just meant to be kind of thrown on. And it's cozy, but it's not too warm. And it's got a geometric... I think it's made with lace, but it might just be a textured pattern on it all over. It's kind of a triangle, like a stacking triangle pattern. And it's neat. It's just a neat pattern. It's, again, not super flattering, but can be carried off with attitude. It's a little more romantic than the Gale. The Gale is a little more like country. This is more romantic. And the way it's modeled and styled is quite romantic, which goes with the sort of romantic, ruffly, lingerie, lacy, bohemian look that... that is trending now. Lucinda by Carrie Bostick Hodge? I don't know. Is from the Matter Anthology 2, Simple Pleasures. It's a $6 download on Ravelry. And came out last January. And it's just a simple pullover. It's a V-neck, it's boxy, and then it's got fairly well-fitted sleeves with... Which, like I said, when you have a big, boxy, drop-shouldered sweater and then the sleeves are fitted, you end up with a silhouette that is still fairly flattering, considering all that fabric floating around your midsection. It's knit in a DK weight, But it is a merino silk alpaca blend, which means that you could sub in a yarn that was not made of warm, cozy animal fibers, but was drapey, and you would still have the same look without all the warmth. Although you would have to make sure it had some sort of wool content, probably, to have that bounce that keeps the sleeves snug against your arms. Otherwise, they'd just kind of droop out over time and look droopy. Anyway, it's a pullover, boxy pullover with drop shoulders, tight sleeves, and a big V-neck. It's very casual, kind of grungy. That one of the things I like about it is because of the yarn, which is Acadia by the Fiber Company. I've been dying to try the Fiber Company's yarns. They're so beautiful. It's a sort of tweedy yarn. It's like a textured, the tweed is not in color so much as in texture, and that gives it a very casual, earthy look to it. And I think it fits well with the knitwear that was on the runways. The final one I wanted to mention is also a Quince and Company pattern. It's also by Bristol Ivy. It's from the Piper 2016 collection. Piper is their lace weight. It's more of a heavy lace weight, really, than a true lace weight. At, 279 meters to 50 grams. It is a open front cardigan with short sleeves, but it's got an interesting construction. It's more like a wide scarf or wrap that then suddenly grew the back of a sweater on it. It's the only way I can describe it. It's got a sort of, the front is very drapey, and it's got a maybe a broken rib texture. It's hard to tell from this picture. I'm hoping I can see it. Yeah, it looks like a broken rib or a mistake rib or something. And this big scarfy collar can be folded back into a shawl collar, should you wish it. But then it just hangs open and drapey over the front of your body. It doesn't cling at all. It's kind of boxy. And the back is also kind of boxy, but is knit in stockinette. But it looks neat. It looks like you've got a wrap around your shoulders, but then that wrap is also a sweater. And it would be in lace weight, so it would be nice and light. Piper is going to be a relatively warm lace weight just because of the fact that it's a little thicker and has mohair in it, but it'll still be a light sweater, and you could, depending on the climate you live in, throw it on in a summer evening, or, you know, here for some summer days, you need a little sweater. It doesn't get all that warm all the time. Sometimes it's like stupid warm, but not all the time. And yeah, it's cute, and I think, I don't know, I think I would like to make a sweater like this, or this sweater, but I can't decide. It's a little bit daring for me. I'm not used to making things that are that, just kind of loose and floppy, but it's neat. I just really love the way it looks like there's just this scarf wrapping around the model's shoulders, and then the back of the sweater just drapes down from there. It's very clever. This Bristol Ivy woman knows what she's doing. So that I also wanted to mention as a very, very lightweight alternative to the big grungy oversized sweaters like the Lucinda. So that, my friends, is the end of the Fashion Report. That's all I've got for you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it brought you some inspiration and some enjoyable podcast listening time. I love it. You guys have been saying that you enjoy it and, you know, posting on Instagram and stuff about it, and it, like, every time someone does, I just get so excited, because I do this because I want to share my love of fashion with somebody who gives a damn. There are people in my life who do, but I don't see them every day, and I love fashion. I think it's fun, and I think it's frivolous, and I think sometimes fun and frivolous can be super freaking important, and fashion is that way. But I don't love how much money is spent on it and how much it drives people's sense of self-worth, and I love the idea of being able to make things that let you play with fashion trends and concepts without having to buy into it, and yet you get a garment that is even better quality if you're, you know, on your game, even better quality than very high-end designer stuff. And so, yeah, I love fashion. I hope you enjoy the fashion reports and the whole concept of it. And if you don't, I hope you stopped listening earlier than this, because I've been going on for ages about this. Okay, so let's finish up for today with my three obsessions for the past 2 weeks. My first is my poor arthritic cat. I mentioned earlier that her food was in here. I've had to basically take away all jumping reasons for her. Her food used to be up on the bathroom counter, and, you know, her litter box used to require her to jump to get into it, and basically all of these reasons are to keep the dog out of things that the dog should be out of, because dogs are disgusting. But that aside, my poor cat tore the cruciate ligament in her knee, like totally blew her knee out, and had been walking with a really severe limp, so we took her to the vet, and the vet felt up her leg and said, you know, that her knee was really swollen, but it also had some really weird bony lumps in it, and for a little while we were concerned that maybe it was bone cancer, so she did some x-rays, and it wasn't. It was just, like, epic arthritis. Like, she's got big bony deposits from the arthritic whatever, from the arthritis. And so, poor kitty. She is 12, so I guess being a senior cat has finally happened. But it means she's limpy and creaky, and she had to be on painkillers for a while. The limp's not gone yet, but it is improving, and I'm giving her Cartrifen injections, which should help with her joints and changing her diet to be more joint-friendly, helping her lose a little bit of weight so she's not, you know, putting any more weight on those arthritic knees than is strictly necessary. Working with the vet to keep her out of pain as much as possible. The vets did give me a quote for a knee surgery. I really love my cat, but no. The trouble is, you know, if it would fix all of her pain forever, I would consider it. But it's only going to fix that one ligament in the one knee, and she's going to be arthritic all over, and she's still going to be in pain, and I'd rather just help her through it and help her manage it, and, you know, get a good gauge for how much pain she's in and what she needs for pain management, rather than putting her through an expensive and traumatic surgery and then not actually fixing the problem. So my poor kitty cat. That's sad. You know, she's my baby. She's the first pet I ever had that was just mine and not, you know, connected to my parents or whatever. And she's an old girl now, which I guess means so am I. Oh well. My second obsession is not quite so sad as my poor kitty cat. I bought some new fabric, so I've got some sewing projects lined up in my future, but I just got some fabrics that I'm really excited about. The first one is they call it a rose skin. It's like a peach skin, but not quite so fuzzy as all that. It's just a synthetic blend. But it's drapey and thin and, you know, a nice summer weight fabric. But it does have a slightly velvety texture on the good side. But anyway, it's navy, and printed on it, very small, and just kind of in silhouette, are kittens with bows. The kittens are tiny, and just in sort of a beige color, and then the bows are just in a sort of faded red, but they look actually like an exact outline of that little kitten from the Aristocats. It's such a hipsterish print. It's got kitties on it, but they're little, and you couldn't tell they were cats from a distance. But it's so silly. It's such an unnecessary fabric, and I love it. I love it. It has kitties. Kitties with bows. So I'm going to make a shirt, and I'm going to have kitties with bows, and I'm excited. The next fabric is a linen-cotton blend. I'm excited because I'm finally at a size that I plan to stay at. And so I can shell out for more expensive fabric. And so it's really nice being able to buy natural fibers, because I haven't been as much, because, you know, when I could buy fabric for $7 a meter instead of $37 a meter, and I won't be wearing the thing for more than a season and then passing it on to someone else, I would rather use the synthetic, particularly because when I am sewing something that I know will be going to a thrift store, after I'm done with it, I would really rather make it out of a synthetic, because it's not going to be as hard to wash for other people who maybe don't, like, because there's no tags if I make it, so people aren't going to know how to wash it, and I'd rather it be as sturdy as possible. But anyway, that was to say, so this cotton linen blend, it's sort of tweedy and slubby and textured looking, and it's in a sort of gray, light gray blue, and I just love it. It's so natural and earthy, but it's I think in the right pattern will still look quite refined. So I'm going to make a woven top. It's the Hayden tee from Seamwork. And then I bought this amazing denim that it's a shirting or dress weight denim, and it's dark denim, not like super dark indigo denim, but it's definitely a dark rich blue. But it's got a really high tencel content, so it's kind of shiny, and it's really, really drapey and shifty. You know the way when you handle linen and it kind of feels like it's got a bit of a life of its own? It's kind of floppy, moves around in your hands. That's how this feels. But it's done with tencel, so it's a little bit shiny and a little bit more formal. And it's so cool. It's such a nice fabric, and it was super expensive for me, for what I'm used to. But I can't wait. It's going to be an Adelaide dress from Seamwork. It's just a it's a button-down shirt dress that's just a tank. It's not got any collar or sleeves or anything like that. And then it has a belt made out of the same fabric. I don't know if I will make the belt or if I will just wear a belt with it. Or maybe I will do both. I don't know. Not at the same time. But anyway, so I think the fact that the fabric is a little bit fancy will really work to this dress's advantage. Because it's a simple dress, and denim is a simple fabric, but just that little extra something to put it over the edge, and also because it's got that shifty, linen-y drapiness, I think it'll look more flattering than a stiffer denim would in the same dress, because it'll actually come in at the waist, and yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be really pretty, and I'm really excited about these fabrics. They feel very grown up. I don't know why. Okay, maybe not the one with the little Aristocats kitties on them. But whatever. There will be pictures on Instagram when I actually get to sewing with them. If you're curious, that's a great place to follow me, because I generally take pictures of the things I'm working on. My third obsession is the nigh unto indecent thrill of upgrading my Sewing Notions toolbox and finally getting all of my sewing notions organized. I got a bigger, stronger, better toolbox, and everything fits in it. Even the big cones of serger thread fit in the bottom compartment, and everything's in its own place, and it's awesome. And it closes the whole way, and I can put my sewing machine on top of it, and it's not wobbly. And then I took all of, which freed up the toolbox I had been using for my sewing notions, so I was able to put all my trims and buttons and stuff in it. And get rid of the worst toolbox I had. Gave it to my kid. She can carry her crap around in it for a couple years. Anyway. So excited. I organized my buttons by color. And I put them into little plastic baggies that were left over from one of the board games my husband got for his birthday, I think. Sometimes they come with way too many plastic baggies. Way too many. If they use little Ziplocs for organizing the pieces, I don't know why they add so many. But they do. And so, anyway, really good little bags. And I organize them by color, so there's the blues and greens bag, and the reds and orange and yellows, and the purples and pinks, and the creams and naturals, and the blacks and browns, and my buttons are so tidy. It's so exciting. I felt so proud of myself for organizing my buttons. mostly because my buttons have never been organized and I always forget to use them. So it is actually a very important practical step for me, but it's also just like the thrill of having your stuff in the right place for once, finally in the right place. I have had buttons sitting in my yarn bowl for a year and a half, I would say. Just sitting there, waiting for a reason to be put away, or waiting for a place to be put to, and I've never put them away. That's how long the clutter has been there. So, very exciting. I think that is all for today. So, I hope that you have an awesome 2 weeks. Come hang out in the Ravelry group. The thing-along thread is going along. I didn't talk about it at the beginning of the podcast today. Forgot. Whoops. The thing-along is our pretty much whatever-along. Life-along, craft-along, you name it-along. Cooking, I don't care. Exercise. The goal is to take something that you've been wanting to get better at or improve your life with or improve the world with and to set that goal and then do it. Currently, mine is the rather abstract goal of not being riled up by a situation at work that where some negativity is being brought into the office, and I'm really sensitive to negativity. Like, I mean, that makes it sound like I, you know, get vibes from crystals or whatever. That's not what I mean. I mean, when people are, I'm very empathic. I pick up on emotions a lot. And so when people are being negative and whiny and bitchy about things, I tend to feel very negative and whiny a bit and bitchy about things as well. And that's no good. That doesn't help. And my husband works at my work. So it's super easy to come home and bitch about the things and then feel awful about it. And so, yeah, my thing-along goal is to develop some coping mechanisms to deal with other people's negativity in a more productive way. Currently, I am doing my damnedest to make the office a more positive place by being kind and positive, not upbeat. I'm not really a chipper person. But thanking people and recognizing their achievements, because people love that. It's good for them. So that's my thing-along challenge right now. I hope it works. Anyway, I will catch you guys later. Have an awesome 2 weeks. Enjoy your thinging along and your knitting and your friends and family and your poor senior pets. If you have any tips for dealing with a senior pet, let me know. Because, oh, the poor cat. Okay, happy knitting.